In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we hear from the Gospel reading, the healing of the centurion's paralyzed servant. This is a unique Gospel passage in the New Testament. It's one of only two places in the New Testament where the text says that Christ marvels at something. The only other passage in which Christ marvels is in Mark 6:6, when he marvels at the unbelief displayed in his hometown of Nazareth. To marvel is a great thing. In the church, we even have a title for certain saints, wonder workers, they're called, thaumaturgos in Greek, someone who wonders or who works wonders. And that comes from the same word as to marvel, thaumazo. So it's marvel or wonder, right? St. Nicholas, the wonder worker, is perhaps the greatest example of a wonder-working saint or marvel-working saint, although there are others. So to marvel is to cause great wonder. It's to be astonished or struck with awe. When we begin a sentence with, I wonder, it's because we are struck by something that incites some sort of curiosity within us. We may not know something, but we want to know more. We are in wonder about a mystery before us. For a human to marvel or to wonder is natural. In our lives as Christians, we should marvel throughout the day. We should marvel at God's providence in our lives, either joyfully or with tears. We should marvel at creation. We should marvel at our neighbors. We should marvel or wonder in our prayer. To marvel is to be awestruck. You cannot put into words what you see or feel or are experiencing. You may even question if what is happening is real. For Christ to marvel, however, is something different altogether. Remember, in the scriptures, he only does it twice, once in a positive way and once in a negative. Christ marvels because he says he has not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Not even among God's people has Christ found the faith of this centurion. And it's not just faith, but humility. I know I speak about humility a lot, but it's because without faith and humility, our Christian faith is nothing. Look at the only other time that Christ marvels in Scripture. It's in Mark 6:6, when Christ is in Nazareth. Christ marvels here because the people are amazed at his wisdom. But it's not a positive amazement. It's more like panic. The people are perplexed at hearing his teachings and seeing his works, and they harden their hearts against Christ. And they harden them to such an extent that, as the scripture says, he could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. This is why Christ marvels in Nazareth, because his own people have rejected him. Because they have hardened their hearts against his teachings and his works. It's not that Christ can't work miracles in and of himself, but it's that without faith, he is unwilling to force his grace upon those who do not want it. And why did the people not want the grace of God if not because of their pride? When Christ comes to us, we can either be humble and faithful or we can be indignant. And both cause God to marvel. Our indignation because he has loved us unto death and we've rejected it, and our humility and faithfulness because great faith brings him joy. And so the message today is very simple. If we wish for the Lord to marvel at us, we must have faith and humility, the faith and humility of the centurion. And while it's true that Christ is willing to enter under the roofs of our souls, our humility should cause us to hesitate, not out of faithlessness, but because in our faithfulness, we realized who Christ is and who we are. As St. Paul tells us in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're attentive during liturgy, you'll notice that there are numerous prayers that I say quietly while certain other things are happening, right? These prayers are often called the silent prayers or the priestly prayers. They are said silently because many of them are all about my own unworthiness as a priest to stand before the altar of God and to call upon his name. And not just to call upon his name, but partake of the holy mysteries offered in the Eucharist. These silent prayers ask God to hear our priestly prayers and cleanse us from all of our shortcomings and sins so that he may hear us as we pray to him. And this isn't just for show. We as priests should say these prayers with great fear and trepidation. The same goes for the pre-communion prayers that we all say. One by St. John Chrysostom in particular even echoes the word of the centurions said today. It goes, O Lord my God, I know that I am not worthy nor sufficient that thou should enter under the roof into the habitation of my soul, for it is all deserted and in ruins. And thou hast not a fitting place in me to lay thy head, but as from the heights of thy glory thou didst humble thyself, so now bear me in my humility. From these prayers, it's more than obvious as to our approach towards God. It's one of reverence, one of hesitation, one of humility. And it's not just for Christ, right? It's for his mother as well. As Elizabeth exclaims to Mary the Theotokos in Luke at the visitation, she says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And here she's echoing the words of King David in 2 Samuel, or 2 Kingdoms in the Septuagint, when the Ark of the Covenant comes to David. What does he say? Well, he says, how is it that the Ark of the Lord comes to me? St. Cosmas of Aetolos, my patron saint, says that we should even have this demeanor, this hesitation, when even simply speaking about God. He says that in teaching, it's always good to begin with God and to end with God. But that he himself, St. Cosmas, even when he's teaching, when he's theologizing, that he himself, this great saint of the church, isn't even worthy to utter the name of God. That's the kind of humility of the saints. So even when we speak about God, we speak about and approach him in humility. Indeed, God wishes to speak with us face to face and call us friend. But as the Psalms and James say, God resists the proud. So as we approach God in prayer, as we approach God in speaking about him among fellow Christians or ministering to those inquiring, and especially as we approach God in communion, let us repeat the words of the centurion. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Let his words become our words. And through the words of the centurion, as Christ says at the end of today's gospel, may we too be accounted worthy to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.